Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, sin runs deep, your grace is more. For grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. The holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. In me, yeah. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to you when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and savior. Lord, I need you. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Good morning. You guys can have a seat if you're standing. My name is Emily, and I'm glad to welcome you this morning to the well. It's going to be a great day. Good morning. Hi. Yeah, we're going to have a great day. We're still in the midst of our series called Dashboard, where we're looking at different lights that might pop up on your car that alert you something's wrong and kind of relating that to our life. So it's going to be a good day looking at that. We had a party this past Monday. We had in Long Beach, we saw some cars. It was Cruising the Coast Week, and it was a fun party. We have a picture of a rainbow, because everybody thought it was going to rain out the parade. It hadn't rained here in 252 days, it feels like, and it rained on Monday right before the parade started, but you can barely see in that picture there was a rainbow, which we took as a sign that God loved Cruising the Coast and he wanted us to have a parade. And then this might have been our favorite one because we knew the people in that car. It's kind of faint, but mostly all of the audio on that is just people yelling, Caroline, because Caroline Hankins was in the back. Nobody yelled for Chris, who was driving. Chris is on the computer, so we're glad, Chris, that you got to drive your car and that Caroline got to throw us some stuff. But anyways, it was a really good party. And this morning, as I was getting ready for church, Ben informed me that it's 11 months and 20 days to Cruising the Coast 2020. And then he wasn't keeping count, but that really he was. And so there's your update on next year's Cruising the Coast. We'll have another party and it'll be awesome. Hopefully as you came in this morning, you got a bulletin. It looks like this, and there's some important things in here about what's going on in the life of our church. And one of those that I want to talk about right now is our Trunk or Treat party on Sunday, October 27th. So we'll have a party for families that night. We're going to have dinner. It'll be hot dogs, macaroni and cheese, fun stuff like that at 5 p.m. And then at 6 p.m. we'll start a Trunk or Treat. And this is where we really need your help to make this a really fun party that we've already advertised like on Facebook and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of people there, and it's going to be awesome. But if you're willing to decorate your car or your truck or your motorcycle or whatever for Halloween and pass out candy, that would be super awesome. And there's sign-up sheets in the lobby for you to let us know if you're going to do that, or you can send us a message to our Facebook page if you want to register for that. If you can't come to that Trunk or Treat party but you'd still love to help, we're collecting candy in the lobby over the next couple of Sundays just so we make sure that we have enough to hand out to all the kids that are going to be there. We love you to come in your costume, too. So that'll be super fun. There'll be games and other stuff. And I'm looking forward to it. Any of my people in the front row, are you guys looking forward to Trunk or Treat? They're not sure. How about some kids in the back? Are any of y'all looking forward to? Yeah. Okay, some adults. There we go. There's some more people looking forward to that. It'll be a fun time. I'm going to say a prayer for us as we get started, and then we'll let you guys tell one another good morning. But first, let's say a prayer together. So God, we thank you for bringing us this morning into this space where we can come together and worship you. And God, we just pray that as we come in, we'd lay aside whatever might be bothering us, whatever's on our mind. God, and that we'd be able to fully pay attention to what you want us to hear this morning. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would come inside of us and help us to open up our hearts and our minds to hear from you. And God, maybe if we're not even sure why we're here this morning, that you'd show us over the next few minutes why you want us to be here and what you have in store for us and who you want us to be. And God, I just pray too, you take away any judgments we have against ourselves, God, like things that we think about our own selves, that we just be able to put that aside and be able to see people that you created this morning and be able to recognize that you created each of us uniquely. And God, I just pray that we'd give all we have to worship you in the next few over the next few minutes, and that would carry you out as we go from this place. God, we're thankful for Jesus and for the way that he comes to make a way for us, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you want to stand up and say good morning to somebody around you, that'd be awesome. If you're near Ben, you can tell him happy birthday. We'd love to invite you guys to stay standing as you make your way back to your seats and sing along with us this morning. I want to be close to you. I want to be close to you. There's nothing in this world that compares to all you are. In the arms of the Father, there is love like no other. my sole devotion, my only focus, to worship you. My life surrendered, my heart abandoned for more of you. My sole devotion, my only focus, to worship you.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
If y'all want to have a seat, we're about to get to do one of the coolest things that we get to do in our the life of our church. I'm Lori, and I do the children's stuff here. So if you don't know that, I think kids are some of the coolest people around. They certainly are. And one of the things that we get to do is we get to love kids from when they're babies, like until they're adults and even past that. So this morning we want to welcome Brant and Lindsay Smith and their baby Sawyer for a baptism today.
Comes on. How about that? Is that better? There we go. We celebrate the sacrament of baptism, and we do this as a whole church. In fact, I've been asked, like, hey, can you do a baptism just with our family down at the beach? Not, y'all didn't ask that, but I've been asked that. And this is it's an entirely communal event. It only happens in the presence of God and with God's people. And so as much as what we do here to claim God's presence on Sawyer, we do so to remind ourselves that we are part of God's work in the world. And so you guys get to take part in this covenant as we move through the liturgy. And so I'm going to grab my phone to make sure I don't get this incorrect. And so it is, and I lost it that fast. Isn't that awesome? It is through the sacrament of baptism that we're incorporated into Christ's Holy Church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and it's through new birth, through water and the Spirit, that we are made new in Christ. And all of this is God's gift to us without price. And so on behalf of the whole church, Brant and Lindsay, I want to ask you these questions. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And also, do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice and oppression in whatever form it presents itself in this world? And do you once again recommit yourselves to God's work in your life and in the life of this local church? Fantastic. Also, will you nurture Sawyer in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, that she may profess her faith openly and lead a Christian life? Fantastic. And here's where you all come into play. Do you recommit yourselves to one another, but also to Sawyer Lee Smith here before us? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and to pray for, to support, to volunteer in children's ministry, to support Trunk or Treat, to work in Well Junior. That's not really in here, but that's part of the deal. Do you commit to love not only this child, but all these knuckleheads on the front row and everyone around you so that they might one day, by God's grace and with the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, make Jesus the Lord of their life? Will you do that? Fantastic. I'm going to move right over here. And I'm going to pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this water. And on Sawyer Lee Smith, who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout all of her life. Amen. All right. It's my turn, babe. This is the part you said she's not really going to like. Oh, man. This is awesome. Hey. Are you okay? Mom's right there. I have a beard. I mean, I got that going for me, right? Right. Sawyer Lee Smith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born of water and spirit, you will one day become a faithful follower of Jesus. Amen. You are too precious, but I can tell you don't think the same of me. It's okay. One day. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for the gift of baptism. We thank you for your grace and your Holy Spirit that is present among us. I pray a special prayer over this family, God, that you would draw them ever closer together, closer to you. And God, may your grace abound in their lives, and especially in Sawyer's life, that she will one day make you Lord of her life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. And in light of God's grace working in our life, we are moving toward a time of offering. There's no better way to respond to what God is doing in our lives than to give that away to someone else. And so I hope that you know that the financial gifts that you make do help make the church move forward. But I also hope you know that your service and the way that you give of yourself really does make a difference in the life of the church. And so to that end, I want to recall to your attention that there's an opportunity before us on November the 7th through the 9th, give or take a few hours, to take a trip to Vidor, Texas to do hurricane relief. If you're interested in that, there's still an interest level sign-up sheet in the lobby that you can sign up on. If you would like to make gifts toward that trip and the ongoing work in Vidor, you can make checks, mark those, or in your offering envelope, you can mark that Vidor, and we'll make sure that gets there. Just in case you don't remember, Vidor is a church just this side of Houston. They had a lot of damage in that area a couple of years ago after Hurricane Harvey, I believe it was. And recently in Hurricane Imelda, the church has flooded again. And so if you can imagine, just 2 years after that, it's been a hard thing. And so and a lot of that's happening under the radar, not a lot of people know. And so we had committed to a partnership with them, and we're going to keep on that partnership. And so if you would like to support that, please make either, you know, again, financial contributions, or you can sign up to go on a relief trip, and that's coming up soon. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for all that you give us, for the ways that you take care of us, the ways that you provide for us. And Lord, as we give back to see, you know, we do so to see your kingdom become a reality here on this earth. God, you have invited us not only to call you Father and to be called your children. God, you've invited us to be part of your work in the world. And so as we give back now, Lord, we take what we ask that you would take what we give, and God, that you would use it to advance your kingdom here in Long Beach and far beyond. We're grateful for the way you care for us, and we give with deep gratitude, saying thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you guys for singing along with us. You can have a seat, and we would love at this time to invite our children who are ages 3 years old to second grade to head out to the Well Junior. And we're grateful for our Well Junior leaders today. And as you guys, if you can pick your kids up in their classrooms at the end of the service. Their classrooms down the hall. I got them really mixed up, but you know what to do with Well Junior kids.
Whenever I run, you come and chase me. Wherever I go, you're always there. Every time I fall, you catch me. And when I hide, you hold me tight and remind me who I am. No high, no depth could take us from your love. No lie, no death could undo what you've done. The future and the past are yours. My life is in your hands. And all these things I know, your love.
All right. Well, that was fun. Lots of fun. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. Yes, today is my birthday. And I don't say that seeking sympathy, but I did get older today. I'm pretty sure that the last 364 days I didn't get older. It just happens on your birthday, right? And which brings up a good point, because I need to make a confession before we go any further at all. Today we are on our next to last installment of our dashboard series. We've been talking for the last few weeks about sort of warning lights or gauges, things in our dashboard in our car that alert us or remind us that things are not right or they're about to run out, that there's an alarm or they're warning signs. And so we've sort of looked at those through the angle of, you know, as one who follows Jesus in our lives, there's certain warning signs and red flags and things that would cause us to draw attention to something that may not be right, and hopefully seek the guidance of God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, through us to sort of correct that or to move back on a right track, so to speak. And so as we've been doing that, today we're going to talk about a light called the check engine light. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I got to make my confession first, the disclaimer. We're talking about caring for your bodies, taking good care of your bodies. And so I feel like there's plenty of other people in this room who might be far more qualified than myself to tell you, according to biblical standards, here's a great way to care for your body. But I will say, by God's grace, that I get better with it day by day. And so that's the only qualifier I have. I certainly have not mastered this, but I also would say that most anything else we talk about here, I've probably not mastered yet either. And so I would invite you to offer me some grace, as I hopefully offer you some, as we talk about the check engine light and what that means. And so with that being said, the check engine light, I need to just ask off the bat, and I need you to be honest, because we're in church, and I'd hate for you to get smited in front of all of us. How many of you in your vehicle right now, that either the one you drove here today or maybe one you drive on a daily basis, you have an actively illuminated check engine light? Just raise your hand. Raise it up high. Be proud of it, okay? How many of you, that light has been on for more than a couple of weeks? Every single one of you. Just checking to make sure I'm in good company. If I were to give you the keys to my 1998 GMC pickup, you would know that I've got a nice little decorative light there in the bottom that says check engine. I checked it. It's still there. So I think we're good, right? I've got one. When I was going headed into my senior year of high school, I got my first real vehicle. Well, my first nice vehicle. I actually got my first vehicle, I think, when I was 13 or 14. We would ride around the field. I had a 1981 Mercury Capri, which basically was a Mustang, or at least I told myself that it was. But when I headed into my senior year of high school, I got a 1991 Ford Ranger. And, I mean, it was awesome. Four-cylinder, five-speed. It had an air conditioner and a tape deck and power steering and power brakes, and they all worked when I got it. So it was a major upgrade for my lifestyle. One thing it had was lights in the dash. Like, I never owned a vehicle that had light. The year model of the vehicle before my 91 Ranger was a 68 Chevrolet, and before that was a 73 Ford. So to have, like, lights in the dash was a brand new thing. And I'll never forget, like, driving around one day, and all of a sudden the check engine light came on, and I thought to myself, I said, "Self, what does that mean?" And so the truck actually, it was so high tech, it had an owner's manual in the glove box that was still there. And I pop it open, and I look through, and I thumb through, check engine light. The first line read something very similar to this. It said, "The vehicle does not need to be towed." And then something after that was something like, "But attention needs to be sought, you know, soon, you know, at next service," or something like that. I didn't bother to read the rest of it. When it said, "You're good to keep going, like it doesn't need to be towed," I just put that dude back in the glove box, you know, took something out of my pocket, and, you know, put it over the light, and we kept on going, right? It's what you do, right? It's not, it doesn't require immediate attention, and so you just kind of ignore it, and you keep on going. Am I right? Little did I know that particular vehicle, there was something going on internal that later caused a major amount of damage, and I'll spare you the details. But it causes me to realize in our lives, in our bodies specifically, there are sort of red flags or warning signs that pop up along the way that say you're good to keep going, but you probably can't do this very long. Unfortunately, our treatment of those is, "Oh, well, I'm still breathing. I'll just keep on going," right? And we continue to do things that a little bit along really isn't going to change anything tomorrow. But over the course of our lifetime can really alter some things. I mean, for example, and I still haven't even finished the disclaimer. Isn't that sad? The other part of the disclaimer, today's my birthday, all right? I will eat Derby pie, all right? No matter what I tell you about how to care for your body today, I'm going to break all the rules this afternoon. You need to know that up front, and I'm just being honest, and I want to give you permission, not from any biblical standpoint, but just from Ben standing here on stage. If it's your birthday, you can have pie, all right? Only because that makes me feel better about myself. So, and bacon. The check engine light warns us of something that's going on that doesn't need immediate attention, but it certainly cannot be prolonged. And if you drive your car very long without the check engine light for an extended period of time, if there is something going on there, you can cause major damage. And the same is true for your body. And so we have to take care of our bodies. And you might say, you know, this is church, and Jesus is more concerned with my spiritual well-being. And I would say, yes, because here's what I believe, that our bodies are finite. We come from the dust, and we will return to the dust. Our spirit will live on. There's something about getting a heavenly body when we get to heaven. I have no idea what that's really going to look like, but I'm confident that what you see before you now is going to rot in the ground one day. And so I do believe that our spiritual well-being is of the utmost importance. But I will say this, I do not believe that we can separate the two completely and completely abuse our body and pretend like that we are somehow caring for ourselves spiritually. I believe that the two go hand in hand, and I say that if for no other reason than my own experience. And I would be willing to bet that whether you believe in Jesus or anything about the whole faith thing, that you would probably say the same thing as it ties to your emotional well-being. That physically, when you feel good, emotionally, you're doing much better. Is that fair to say? I mean, is anybody would argue with that? When you feel good emotionally, spiritually, you're doing better. And I would also say that if you're down, if you're physically, if you tried to put the pants on and they just wouldn't button, or the shirt just doesn't fit anymore, and you're just exhausted, and you get home from work and it's like it's just all you can do to help get your kids bathed and put into bed, and you're just completely exhausted, you will see red flags, check engine lights that say, "Why am I yelling at my kids? Why am I so short-tempered with my spouse?" Could it be that you're just not taking care of yourself physically? I use that as an example because that's my story. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, and I'm not going to give you a whole lot of intimate details because it's my party and I'll cry if I want to. But there's a point that you cannot separate your emotional and spiritual well-being from your physical well-being. And for me, there was a time in my life not that long ago where I realized and I knew that I could no longer grow as a follower of Jesus if I wasn't going to care for my physical self. If for no other reason than my exhausted state of being was not helpful for my marriage and my kids. That when if I was going to go on like I was going, there was no way I could pretend to follow Jesus and be that short-tempered with my wife and my kids, all because I was not taking care of my body physically. And so there's a way where these things are tied together. And so what I want us to do is sort of look at a couple of passages of Scripture, because I believe that Scripture does speak toward this and can certainly help us come to a place where we recognize the gift of our body and how the good stewardship, the good caring for our bodies can help us grow more like Jesus and closer to Him as we become disciples of Jesus. And so if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow along, or even if you don't, the words will be on your screen, but we're going to begin in Psalm chapter 139. This is a psalm of David. David, famous Dave. He tells this story, and I mean, I've read this, and I thought about my own kids as, you know, as they were in the womb, and you've probably heard this passage before, but I want you to sort of think through the lens of your body present. I've always thought of this passage in light of, when we were first pregnant with our first kid. You can't read this and not just kind of tear up thinking of the majesty and wonder of God as He is forming and creating a child inside a womb. And not just the complexity of the actual physical body, but the actual work of God to make something happen. But I want you to think about this not in light of a beautiful, innocent child like we just baptized a moment ago, but think about yourself. Think about where you are today. Do you still reflect the words of David when he says, "You made all my delicate inner parts of my body. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." David is caught in this marvel of a moment of just how incredible God's work was in his life. He's reflecting back. I think he sees himself as that infant in the womb, but he sees himself present tense. And like, God, you fashioned me and you formed me and you made me in your likeness. And it's my body is handcrafted by you. And you formed me so intricately, and I'm incredibly complex. You did all of that. And so to think that God's work in our body that is finite, that comes from the dust and one day will return to the dust. If God saw fit to do such a work in me, that in me, a physical being that's only going to last for a small season. I mean, life is but a vapor, a breath. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. If God is willing to put that kind of work into creating my body, then I'm just guessing. I'm taking a huge jump here, and I hope that you dive off with me. That the care of my physical body, this vessel in which my spirit lies, that I should probably care for that and steward it as the gift that it really is. We say this often, life is a gift. Every moment is a gift. And I believe that, and I trust that you do too. If every moment is a gift, then shouldn't we care for the vessel that takes up the space and the time that God has put you here for? Shouldn't you and I care for our bodies and steward that? I use the word steward, a caretaker, one who's been given something that's not their own, but that holds on to it, that cares for it, that nurtures it, that helps it, that enables it knowing full well it's not theirs to start with and it won't be in the end. It will be given back. How well do you steward your body? And I don't make anybody uncomfortable because, like I told you, I'm headed out to eat pie, Derby pie. And just in case you don't know what Derby pie is, let me tell you. It's kind of like a pecan pie, but it's loaded with chocolate chips. So aside from my wife, it's one of the greatest gifts from the state of Kentucky you'll ever get. Please don't misunderstand the conversation today to be, I need to eat more fruits and vegetables, and I need to exercise more, quit eating pie, and then everything will be fine. Because that's not where we're headed. What I hope that you will realize is that there is an intimate connection between your body and your soul that you cannot separate. And so not only when it comes to the care and the steward of your body, but our bodies are here not just so that we can care for it and be able to make it last as long as we can and offer it back with gratitude, but rather that we might be used for service. You were created and wired with certain gifts, Paul would tell us, spiritual gifts. I think many of us have physical gifts and abilities to do and to be about the business of the kingdom that unless we care for our bodies, we're not going to be able to fulfill that call and that request or that invitation from God to be a part of. For me, one of the realities I had to face was, if I want to love my kids the way I believe God wants me to love my kids, I got to be able to physically interact with them. I got to be able to pick them up and throw them high in the air, body slam them on the bed, okay? If I'm really going to be the dad that they need me to be and I'm called to be, I've got to be physically able to do that. And so I must steward my body. And I would invite you to do the same thing. And I realize, too, I'm speaking from the standpoint of I'm no longer 40, by the way. I'm now 41. A 41-year-old male who has 4 kids. And so I realize this looks different through the lens of an 18-year-old. Or a 16-year-old, or a 76-year-old, or a 96-year-old. I recognize it looks different, but I think the principles here are all the same. We must care for our bodies. And I think one of the places we first start is recognize that we are made in the image of God, but we are delicately woven on purpose by God for a purpose. You and I were created on purpose and for a purpose. And as David would say, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I don't know. I know very little about the medical field, about biology and all of those things. But it doesn't take very much research, very much time to realize that you are no accident. The fact that you and I can eat food and breathe air and continue to live and to function, and that we can do things, and we can create things, and we have a brain, and we have it's amazing. It is the hand of God at work. And so why wouldn't we care for that gift in such a way that we can offer it back up for the good of the kingdom? And so we must steward our bodies. One of the things that I think makes the check engine light so unique is that the check engine light's a warning of something that's not an immediate concern. And for many times in our lives, we have sort of these red flags. We know it's not a matter of lack of knowledge. It's not a matter of lack of notification. The concern is that we put it off and we do not attend to it in the right time. I'm reminded, like growing up, like, or let's just take this for example, one I wanted to use. I love bacon. Yes, I do. I love bacon. How about you? There's nothing I believe about eating bacon that's really not caring for your body. But here's what I know. If I choose to have bacon, not just today because it's my birthday, but if I choose to eat, a half a pack of bacon, I did not do that this morning, by the way, just so you know. But if I choose to have a half a pack of bacon today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and the many, many days after that, it's not going to end well, and it's going to end very soon, right? Yeah. Because that's the way that it works. It's this prolonged ignorance of something that's going on, the prolonged refusal to deal with something that leads us into a place where we're in real danger. And all of a sudden we wake up and we realize, oh no, I didn't think it was that bad. Because today it's no big deal to do that once today. It's that prolonged, you know, the light came on today. Well, I got a little bit of time. I'll deal with that down the road. I'll take care of it whenever. You were made wonderfully complex. You were created on purpose and for a purpose. There is absolutely no need to delay and to wait for God to do something in your life. So, here's what I know, and let me say something else about that. Knowing that eating bacon on a daily basis, that eating it today is not going to kill me. Eating it every day is probably going to kill me. Knowing that and avoiding that are two very different things, right? Knowing that if I exercise regularly, that will be a great way to steward my body. No one in here would argue with that. Or if you would, and don't argue with me because I feel, anyways. No one would argue with that. But how many of us exercise on a daily basis? It's not a matter of lack of knowledge. It's not a matter of the light didn't come on. We know. It's a matter of doing that's the real challenge. I want to look not only at David, but take a look at the song, at the Apostle Paul, who I believe also helps us to understand the important role of our bodies as it relates to our spiritual life. Paul's writing a letter to the church at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's addressing sexual issues, which, don't worry, we're not going to talk about that today, but we will next week, so come back. And that, I'm being serious. Next week we talk about the airbag, protecting what matters most. And we're going to talk about sexuality, relationships, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in, and you might want to go ahead and prearrange something for your kids to know that we're going to talk about some really fun stuff. But Paul's having this, I'm just teasing this, it's going to be awesome. So Paul is going through this conversation about sexual purity. But when he gets down to the end, he says something that I believe goes far beyond sexuality and begins to talk about the body in a way that I believe it's important that we steward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, run from sexual sin. And again, we'll talk about that next week. It'll be fun. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And he goes on to say this. He says, don't you realize, he's talking about sexuality, but now he begins to be a little more general. He says, don't you realize that your body, that your physical being is a temple, or he says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. Do you not realize that your body is not just, it came from the dust, it's going back to the dust, it's finite, it was created and it's going to go away, but don't you realize that that's a living and breathing palace, temple of God. In other words, that you are the dwelling place of God on earth. Have you ever thought about that? When you say that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we talk about, I need more of God's Spirit in me. God wants to set up dwelling in your soul, in your body. He wants to be here. And so how many of you, let me just ask this, how many of you, when you have company come over, your house is already immaculate and you're ready and you just open the door and like, I'm so glad you're here. Anybody that lives like that, I'm jealous. How many of you, if you know somebody's coming over, you're like yelling at the kids, I better get this stuff out of the living room, clean, wipe the baseboards down, like all of that. Is that anybody? You're telling on your mom, aren't you? Uh-huh. We want to make a place because we want to create an environment, a place that's worthy of a guest, right? When we care for our bodies, we're creating a place and a space for God to take up residence in us. If your prayer life looks something like this, like, God, I don't even know how to pray, but I need more of you. But you spend your life abusing your body, whether it is the things that you're taking in or the the things that you're doing or not doing, whatever that looks like. It seems to me that we should put as much energy into preparing our bodies to be a residence for the Holy Spirit as we do shouting and crying out to God, come make your place at home in me. What does it look like to create a place for God to dwell? I think we must first and foremost think about, what does it look like for God to live inside of me? I think for many of us, we just view our bodies as something that's, it's just who we are, and it really isn't connected. I remember growing up, like I never really thought about, well, first of all, I think growing up, I thought I was invincible. I thought I'm never going to die. I'm never going to be as old as my parents, so I'm never going to die, right? I can remember as a teenager, we worked a lot out in the garage. We had race cars and fun stuff, and I can remember welding galvanized, and if you've ever welded galvanized, it will flat make you throw up. Like, it's disgusting. I don't know how breathing the fumes from welding galvanized can make you that sick, but I did that multiple times. And later thinking, like, that probably wasn't a good idea, right? I've welded to the point where my eyes would burn and I had to go to the ER. Like, that's probably not a good idea. We painted cars with no mask, just breathing in. It smells good, right? Surely, I mean, the fact that I'm coughing up things the next day, no big deal, right? There were other things that I did that were not the greatest for my body. And I'm assuming you could give witness to the same testimony to the same thing. We sort of somehow think that it's no big deal. It's just our body. It's here. We got to kind of lug it around until one day we die. We throw it in the ground and we live with Jesus for eternity, right? It's that easy. But so much of the gospel is available for us here and now. The gospel is not just hope for eternity. The gospel is hope for a transformed life today. And so I believe that we must steward and care for our bodies in such a way that God can take up residence in us and that we can be a home of the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say, do you not realize that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God? And he goes on to say, you do not belong to yourself. Let me say that one more time. You do not belong to yourself. Have you ever thought about your body as not being yours? I mean, have you ever said, like, I mean, it's like, this is my body. It is what I made it. It's my fault. I'm like this. I didn't do, you know. Have you ever thought about, this is not mine? This is only on loan to me for a while. If I'm an eternal being, if I hope to live someday somewhere forever, do I ever consider that I'm just occupying a vessel for a short amount of time that is on loan to me from God himself? And if that's the case, have you ever borrowed someone something, whether you borrowed someone's car, you borrowed someone's tool? You take great care not to destroy it, or I hope you do. What does it look like for our own bodies to care for ourselves as if we are on loan, as I believe that we are, from God? Paul says, your body is not your own. You don't get to make the decisions. It's not, if this belongs to God. And so what does it look like to ask the question, God, what do you have me do with my body? In fact, he goes on to answer that very question to say, he says, for God bought you with a high price, meaning Jesus on the cross. So you must honor God with your body. Have you ever considered that? Like, what does it look like to honor God with your body? So you must honor God with your body. If this is just a temporary vessel which we are floating through life in, and it's on loan to us from God, we should care for it. We should steward it. Paul takes it a step further and says not just to care for it so you can give it back in the end, or that you can make it last as long as possible and get all the good out of it and then hand it back off. Trade it in as if it's a tux that you're wearing for a wedding. Paul says, so honor God with your bodies. And I think this is where I hope that, you know, as we look for a jumping off point, I think all of us can agree, yeah, okay, my body belongs to me. I mean, my body belongs to God. I should care for it. I should steward it. And I'm not even going to go into a whole lot of next steps. Like, it should be fairly evident. Like, we know, eat right, rest, exercise. Eat right, rest, exercise. That will change a whole lot. Like, just start with that. But Paul goes on to say, honor God with your bodies. And so what does that look like? I'm really glad you asked, because I was afraid you wouldn't. It means that we don't do anything to our bodies and with our bodies that would dishonor God. It's just another way of looking at it. That we do not do anything with our bodies or to our bodies that would dishonor God. So, next week, if we're talking about sexuality or promiscuity or something like that, to not do anything with my body that would dishonor God, or not to do anything to my body that would dishonor God. And so what does that look like? How do I avoid dishonor, and how do I move forward with honoring God? And I would say one of the easiest next steps for honoring God with our bodies is to put yourself to work to be about the business of the kingdom of God. That is not only spiritual work. I know we talk about all the time, you know, next steps and how can you serve, how can you help, and there's ways you can be emotionally supportive for people and spiritually supportive, and you can disciple people, you can pray for them, and you can coach them along. But you know, actually physically walking with someone, physically throwing your kids up and body slamming them on the bed, there's ways to be physically involved. There's ways to build things and construct things and clean things. There are ways in which our body is to be used to honor God. There are multiple opportunities within the church and outside of the local church, I believe, to honor God through the use of your physical body. And I don't think that you even want to offer a caveat, make sure I don't miss this. Your body can be and should be used in service to God. But it should never be used just as a mechanical feature. In other words, like if you choose to offer your body to honor God by going and serving, say, in Vidor, Texas to rip sheetrock out, it's never just the physical part of that. We are inseparable. We are a spirit within a body. And the way in which we serve should represent both of those. As we go and as we tear out sheetrock, as we do things, we want to also be the very presence of Christ. And I believe that's when we are honoring God best with our bodies, is when we are moving in tandem, spirit and body, moving forward. There's multiple opportunities to do that here within the local church. There's opportunities to volunteer with our Well Junior. You'll hear more about that in a soon but later date. There are opportunities for you to serve and to be present with your body so that we might be, as Jesus called us, the body of Christ. So I hope that you will take the words, first of all, of David, to know that you are created on purpose and for a purpose. God fashioned you and formed you in the womb, and you are no accident. And your body is complex, and you're called to steward that well. And also beyond that, as Paul would lead us and remind us, that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a dwelling place for God Himself. And we should therefore know that it doesn't belong to us anymore. When God moves in, it's no longer ours, but it's His. And we should seek to do all that we can to honor God with our bodies. And we do so in service to Him and love of our neighbor. Let's pray. God, thank you for the way that you love us. We thank you most of all for Jesus, your Son, who at just the right time put flesh on, a real body, and dwelled among us. God, may we never forget that when you sought to redeem the world, you did not do it from afar, you did not do it with thoughts and prayers, but you did it through your Son, who put skin on and moved into the neighborhood and became one of us, who became God in a body, so that we might know who you are in the fullness. And not only did he present God in the flesh, but he gave himself up. And so God, lead us to places where we recognize that our lives are not our own, our bodies are not our own, but they are intended to be offered up in honor of you and in service to others, so that the world might know who you are through the life that we live and the service we offer. And so come, Lord Jesus, for those of us here today who are weak, for those of us who are tired, For those of us who our engine light has been on for a really long time, would you give us rest? Would you give us opportunities to be better stewards of our body? Would you give us clear next steps of what it looks like to be a better steward, to care for our body, to hold back on the things that we don't need, and to add the things that will help us? Lord, would you reveal that to each one here today so that we might be in better shape, we might serve your kingdom well. God, we want to do what's right by you, and we want to see others come to know who you are, and so we give ourselves to you. Use us, we pray, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurt and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Sorrows and treat them to joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Precious blood. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you guys for worshiping with us today. Thank you for worshiping with us today. We're so glad that you are here. Come and join us again next Sunday as we wrap up this series. And until then, have a really great week. We'll see you next Sunday.